So, maybe you've got a great idea for a business and want to start selling your products or services online. Maybe you're an established business owner looking for new customers. Or maybe you're interested in starting a new personal website. No matter who you are, GoDaddy wants to help you succeed online. Right now, GoDaddy is offering a .com domain for just $149, people. $149, okay? Not $149, $1.49. Go to GoDaddy.com and enter promo code WWC149. That is WWC149 to get your $1.49.com. Some limitations apply. See website for details. Okay, thank you. Bye, guys.
Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Guess what happens when there's so much happens. Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Guess what happens when there's so much that happens.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all the crap we'd love to talk about on Bravo. I'm Ronnie Karen from Trash Talk TV, and I'm here with Ben Mandelker of B-Side Blog. Hello, Ben.
Oh, hi, Ronnie. How are you?
It is lovely to talk to you, Ben.
It is more lovely to talk to you.
I know, right? You guys can find us on the old Facebook at facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens. We basically read you guys there. You post a lot of stuff. We have discussion groups about all the shows. So if you're not part of that yet, get over there. We do not care about the like. We are not counting likes. We care about the discussion, which gets better with each passing day. Right now, for example, there are people on there discussing what we should be discussing on the show today. Isn't that meta, y'all?
Y'all, that's so meta.
And then you can find us on Twitter at WhatCrappens. And you can find me at Ronnie Karam on all social media or Trash Talk TV. Just search that for Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, all that good stuff. You can find Ben on social media at B-Side Blog. That goes for Instagram, Vine, Twitter. All of them, really.
All of it.
Tastemade, I'm sure. I'm sure you're on Tastemade these days.
Duolingo. I'll get on there.
Grindr.
Yes, well, let's get on there. I'm gonna get on everything. I'm even on Elo now, but I only have one friend.
Oh yeah, Elo. I don't know. I don't have time for that.
Yeah, I don't. Like me neither. That's why.
Where they're like, it's like Facebook's without ads, and I'm like, I like the ads because I get the hot gay guys without any clothes on the side of my page, and they're like, Ronnie, do you want to date this guy? He's in your neighborhood, and then I click a thing, give it my credit card number, and then.
Yeah, and by the way, Elo, enjoy having no ads, because you're going to have ads. That's just the way it works. That's the way the internet works. You're going to have ads.
Yeah, it's like when cable came out, and they're like, if you pay for cable, you're not going to have to watch ads anymore. And then like a year later, they're like, sorry, but you have to watch ads now. Yeah. And now you're paying more for cable than you are for any of your utilities, and you're still having to watch a shit ton of commercials every day. Thank you. I tried watching On Demand, by the way, this week, because I just recently got cable back, thanks to you guys. And you have to watch the commercials on on-demand shows. Fuck you.
I know, you can't fast forward.
That's bullshit. I'm not using
the worst.
It at all. That's stupid.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Anyway. So Ben and I are also doing this patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens thing. And that is where you guys can come subscribe for extras. We do a bonus episode, which we just finished recording. So
$1.
If you do $1 an episode, you get a bonus episode. If you get two, you get a bonus episode plus like a, what is it, Ben? What's a $2 thing?
Here. So basically, if you donate $1 on Patreon, $1 per episode, then you get access to our bonus episode, which, as Ronnie said, we just recorded. It was really fun. We talked about all sorts of Bravo gossip. If you donate $2, you can participate in a monthly Google Hangout with us. And we're actually doing our first Google Hangout this Thursday. Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific time, so it'll be 10 o'clock if you're on the East Coast, 7 o'clock if you're on the West Coast, and y'all in the middle gotta figure that shit out. So we're gonna be doing that, really excited. Make sure you sign on early, because I think Google Hangouts only take 100 people, so first come, first serve. And
Come to our Facebook page to find out where that is for the subscribers, and we'll link to the subscriber page where it is, okay? We'll do that at about 6:45 Pacific.
Yeah, and just a heads up, I'm just going to assume we'll have some technical issues for the first 10 minutes, you know, because that's what always happens anytime we do something new like that. So apologies in advance. But I'm actually really looking forward to it. People can write questions. We're just, it's going to be live. Just be, guys, just be a hangout.
Yeah, it's going to be like cool to hang out with you guys in real time. If you have webcams, make sure you turn them on, because we can actually bring you into the conversation. We can all talk together, I think up to like 10 people at a time.
Yeah, up to 10 people,
we can chat. We can show videos and clips and stuff like that. So
we can share
really
stories and secrets.
Yeah, it'll be fun, you guys. Stuff. So we don't want to do too much ads, but on this, we like want to actually get back to talking about Bravo and not begging for money every week. But the basic thing is go to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens, sign up, and there's bonuses. The rest of the show is going to stay free. All of this that you're downloading all weekly or listening to weekly will always stay free, so don't worry about that. But if you want extras and want to support the show, just come to us and do it that way. You can find the information on our Facebook page or at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And one last quick thing is that once we get up to $1,000 per episode, we will do two normal episodes of Watch What Crappens every week. Right now we do one plus a bonus. We will go up to two with a bonus. So that would be really exciting. And we're already up to $425. We're nearly halfway there, which is astounding. So really, thank you, everyone.
Yeah, thanks, you guys, because at that rate, we could be doing two shows by the time Bravo gets good again this November and January, when Beverly Hills is supposed to come back. Because now they are slacking off on this fucking channel. Oh, my God.
I know. And in January, by the way, so we have two. I have two announcements. These are not advertisements. These are not. We're not asking anything of anyone. But in January, it looks like we're going to be doing a live show at the Improv in Hollywood. The date has yet to be nailed down, but it looks like that's going to happen. So we're really excited about that. So if you guys want to see this live, just mark your calendars tentatively. It'll be a Sunday. Whatever. We don't know which Sunday yet. And then also, we want to thank everyone who voted for us in the LA Weekly Best Podcasts poll. We did not win. We were up against the people who won are the creators of the Chappelle Show. So I mean, how do we? They have superstar guests on there. They have Chris Rock on there. So there's no way we can compete with that, really. But really, it was really awesome that you guys all voted. So thanks.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
And I think that's it for the housekeeping.
Yeah, that's it. Thanks for everything, you guys.
So that's the show. Thanks, everyone.
Okay, bye, everybody. Thanks. We'll talk to you on the private Patreon page. Just kidding, guys. It's still free, damn it. Okay, so let's get on with the Bravs. All right?
We have a lot.
We've talked about some stuff already, but I do have to ask you some certain things. For example, did you hear – what was I going to say? Did you hear? Oh, did you see the previews for Euros of Hollywood?
Yes. I didn't even know this show was coming.
That motherfucker Ryan Seacrest again.
No, it's not. Actually, I know for a fact it's not. Not as if it's secret information. But this is from 19 Entertainment, the people who brought us American Idol.
Oh, my God. This show is going to be a maze town. I'm going to love it.
Yes.
The preview is some girl going, oh, what is the thing you put the gas for? It's the noozle? It's the noozle. You put the gas in the noozle. I was like, oh, my God. I'm going to be able to watch this show for 24 hours a day every day.
Yes. I know. It's like, and the one woman with the big tits, she's like, in Albania, if I have a problem, I just call the prime minister.
Well,
I think it looks hilarious.
It's going to be really good. And this show isn't even kidding around. It's just like, just give me a bunch of white people. I don't care. Give me a bunch of white people with funny accents. Make sure they're thin. I don't even care how they look. Just make sure they're thin and they have accents. Okay. I'm like, okay, sounds great. We'll put it on Bravo.
I know.
Put it on the old Bravo.
I'm so excited.
How do I put gas in my car? I cannot wait for you, show. I cannot wait for you, Euros of Hollywood. So that
and then kinda... that one, there's oh, sorry, that one guy who was like, he's like, people in America return everything, and he's like in the middle of a Target, he's like shocked. I don't know. It really was like Stefan. He looks like Stefan.
We have already discussed Kelly's penis, which was shown this week. You can find a link on our Facebook page. But I'm scrolling through this because you guys post so much funny news on here. I'm scrolling through it to look for stuff that you guys have been talking about. And there's this picture of Kelly from Below Deck with this gigantic crucifix on his arm. What is with buff guys putting crucifixes on their arm? We've seen it on Big Brother with two of the guys. It's like, is that a trend? I mean, what the hell? If you're so Christian, what are you taking dick pics for and putting them on the internet?
In Europe, we don't do that. We don't do that. We put a tattoo of rose water. I don't know what that means. I'm sorry.
I just don't get it. Y'all realize that that's what we killed Jesus on, right? I mean, why is that on your arm? It's not.
Well, you saw that.
It's not a compliment. It's like, remember where I killed you, Jesus? Yeah, it's on my arm.
Nick Cannon, he put a giant cross on his back to cover up his Mariah tattoo. So,
I guess it's the new thing. Oh my God! Now Jesus is your beard, so no one will know you were married to an old lady. Get out of here! That's stupid. I've never understood that. My sister is like super Christian, and she's got all these crucifixes in her house. Like she's got a wall of crosses, and they're so pretty. They're like all fancy. You know, all these different artists do these real fancy ones. Like there's ones with like gold plated shit all over it, and like the fleur de lis and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, you understand that Jesus probably looks at this and he's like, why would I want to hang out in your living room? Like, don't even pray because
literally,
you're inviting me to my living room
no pun intended.
To like remind me of where I got crucified. Thanks a lot, bitch.
I know. It's funny. I was walking in Hollywood the other day and
literally,
I saw one.
You're
of,
an ass.
Get it? You're like, why would I want to hang out with this cross? but no, I was walking in Hollywood and there are these like some like really religious like Asian people who like to walk around with crosses and a megaphone. And I was like, you know, like the cross is supposed to be like the religion, it's supposed to be the symbol of Christianity. And you're wielding it in such a menacing way. But truth be told, it was like actually a form of like torture and death. It's like, I had a very similar thought just yesterday.
Yeah, it's like, and are you threatening to kill me? Get the fuck out of here with that.
It's like I never understood why the Ku Klux Klan or just racists in general would like burn the cross on someone's yard. I'm like, that's your symbol. Like, shouldn't you be like, if you're being like crazy racist, shouldn't you like be like putting up some like scarecrow, like a black scarecrow, and lighting it on fire? Like that would make more sense in terms of like racist logic, right? Yeah. But you're actually just lighting your own like sacred imagery on fire. What's wrong with you?
Well, no one ever accused the KKK of being intelligent.
Yeah,
that's
thank
sure.
God.
God bless their hearts.
And by the way, I'm not endorsing putting a black scarecrow on someone's lawn and lighting it on fire.
Well, yeah, of course. But I mean, come on. I mean, those people wear sheets. What, you can't.
I know.
You just can't.
Very
unfair. All right, let's
cost.
Just back away from the crucifix discussion. I don't know why we started with this. Except that there's all these buff dudes with these fucking crucifixes, and I don't get it. It's like,
okay,
you're trying to like have sex in a bar with somebody, and you've got a big old cross. It's like, don't you believe that you shouldn't be having sex? I'm so confused! Or sex before marriage, whatever. Okay, anyways, so let's move on.
If you are sexy and muscular, do not get a crucifix tattoo or a tribal tattoo. And I know that all the sexy muscular guys listen to this podcast, so you're welcome. But those are two different rules. And if you're a woman, don't get a tramp stamp. If you've got one, listen, it's okay. But
yeah, you need something for someone to read while they're fucking you from behind, you're not interesting enough, okay? That's like when cereal boxes try and put games and shit on the back of the box. It's because they don't taste good enough, and they're trying to confuse you by, like, entertaining you while you're eating them, okay? Be more entertaining and stop putting fucking shit on your back to read while we're doing you, all right?
So blind people are screwed when it comes to cereal. That's what you're saying.
Pretty much. I mean, blind people actually probably eat good cereal because they're not tricked by all the games on the back, you know? They're going to go for Cocoa Puffs because they're good, not because there's a fucking maze on the back.
So I'm going to look for the cereal that says, number one, for blind people.
Yes. Blind people approved.
And 9
it'll probably
out of 10
be Cocoa
Puffs.
I mean, it'll probably be the peanut butter Cap'n Crunch.
Or that cookie one.
Or Fruity Pebbles. They don't make that much effort anymore. They barely even put it in a big box. They'd like sell it to you in these tiny boxes now. Anyway.
I agree.
I don't know why we're talking about this stuff. Okay.
We're just excited thinking about Kelly's penis.
Seriously, that thing, like, that's... I think every white guy simultaneously cheered and also bowed their head in shame because that's rough to compete with.
I mean, next time people on the yacht want to go down the slide, they just have to have Kelly standing at the edge and take down his pants and let that thing flop down to the water.
Yeah. And slide down it.
Yeah.
They can stop complaining about that damn slide. Okay, yeah. What show do you want to talk about first, Ben? It's Ben's choice today.
Oh, my God. Why don't we actually start with the Joe and Teresa interview? Because that was...
What? What I do? What? Huh? You know. Like, what? What? What I got to say? I got to say. What I got to do? What you got to do? I got to do what I got to do. I mean, whatever. Huh? What? Huh? Sure. Yeah.
That was actually my first note that I had. I said, Joe is constantly like, I mean, I don't know. You know, it is what it is. You know, I don't know. She didn't, you know. Well, you know,
moron.
It is. Last time we talked about was one, I mean, that's what it is. So, I would have liked it if, but,
But, you know, it is what it is. You do what you do. What happens, happens. It goes how it goes. You know, going is going. Up is down. Down is up. Down is up. Up is down. Around, around. Up, down. Like, okay, like, thanks, Joe. Thanks for coming.
He's also become a very heavy breather. He's like, well, it's, you know, well, what can you do?
It's he's like Guido Vader.
The fraud, may the fraud Guido. Be with you.
Which would work. The fraud be with you. My first note is Andy's opening pout. Okay.
Andy
Cohen. Okay, listen. Now, I have a lot of rude things to say about Andy Cohen. I know it, and I know a lot of people love him. And you know what? Andy Cohen makes some of the best entertainment. And obviously, I've based a large part of my life watching what he does. So I'll say that up front so I'm not a total hypocrite. But this interview is why Andy Cohen makes me fucking crazy. He is the worst, okay? First of all, he's having these people on who were sentenced like that morning. It was like that morning or the day before. He starts by, like, crinkling his eye, like he's going, aww, like that look, like when some, like when you've hurt your toe or when you've gained 50 pounds and your friends haven't seen you in a while, and they're just looking at you like, aww, and he starts like that, and he's like, how are you guys doing? And then his biggest question of the night was, but you like hair and makeup, what are you going to do in prison? I almost punched the fuck out of my TV when he said that. I was like, really, Andy? If you can't do this job, ask somebody that knows how to do it to at least feed you questions. Like, who's coming up with this shit?
Hair I know. Makeup. Well, what I thought was funny is just how, like, it's called Watch What Happens one-on-one. I mean, it's like serious and the light was like darker. It's like the Frost Nixon moment. And I'm like, I was like, I just think it's funny that they suddenly decided to get very serious in the show when normally the like, what you would tune in to expect would be like, okay, Teresa, so when you go to jail, like, what sort of girl do you want to bunk with? How big do you think her boobs are going to be?
Let's like, do the Teresa goes to jail game. Do you think is going to have an ass like Luann? Or do you think she's going to have an ass like Kim Zolciak? Spin the wheel!
Every time we say drop the soap, everyone has a drink. And then I was like, no, now we're going to be serious.
Every time we say somebody's been raped by a plastic bottle that they stole from the cafeteria that once held milk, drink!
Yeah, you know what? It is what it is, you know? I don't
know. It's like the longest code word ever.
I know. Every time Joe mumbles something saying it is what it is, I mean, you know, drink! I mean, it is what it is. I don't know, you know?
Well, one good thing about this entire debacle is that Teresa's getting a receding hairline. And I think that's it's like a gift from God, you know? It's like she's finally stressed out enough to get a normal hairline. You can see it going. And you know what? It's about time. Congratulations.
She has aged a lot in the past year. It is really showing on her. I mean, I'm sure all like years of sun damage did not help either, but it is all falling apart. And I think she did something to her lips. Something she looked a little different, right?
Well, I think she was trying not to punch Andy because apparently he pulled they were trying to sell for more money. I mean, there's so many rumors, and Andy was denying that he paid this much money, but online it was saying that Andy paid like $350,000 for this interview, which almost paid the restitution. But then he was on Twitter saying, oh, there's so many lies about stuff today. Don't believe anything you're reading. So
Bravo doesn't have that money.
No kidding. They don't pay that for an entire season of one of these shit shows. So I don't know about that, but I think that he just has her under contract. So I think he probably stopped her from making big money on other interviews because she's under contract with Bravo. So he not only did that, he asked really rude questions. And I don't know. It just seems... I get that you do that on the reunions and stuff, but I don't know. It's always, I guess that's what kind of has always bugged me about that whole thing. It seems like they should be on the housewife's side, and instead they're like cackling with glee whenever something bad happens to one of them, you know?
Well, I did not mind that he asked rude questions because they committed fraud. And one thing that annoyed me is that when they tried to describe it, they still weren't really taking full responsibility. You know, they're like, well, you know, Teresa goes, her big lesson is like, I do need to read things before I sign them. And, you know, sometimes I need to learn about things and I need to know what's happening in my life. I'm like, no shit, Sherlock. You know, it's called being an adult. But And then, but she was like, yeah, I just, you know, I signed, you know, what the banks would give us, you know? And Joe's like, yeah, you know, well, you know, get something from the bank. And, you know, she had better credit than me, so I'd just have her sign it. I'm like, no. You committed fraud. Don't act like you just got some forms from the bank and it just happened to be a fraudulent situation.
No, you just sign it because they give it to you. And then you sign.
And Andy did kind of call him on that a little bit. Not too aggressively, but he was kind of like, yeah, but you were committing fraud. Like, you were... Like, it's not just like you just got stuff from the bank. Like, you
well, that stuff doesn't bug me because you should be asking those kind of questions during this interview. The things that bug me are when he says things like, oh, Joe, how much are your suits? You know, because he's like, Teresa, you carried a $3,000 bag and you're saying you're broke. And she's like, well, I didn't pay for that. And he's like, well, Joe, how much are your suits? And he's like, the 2-for-1 from the men's warehouse or whatever.
Joe actually wanted to know. Joe
and
said,
he's like, how much do you pay? He's like, and Andy's like, well, I paid taxes on my suits. You know, that's a cunty thing to say. And that's not the point. Like, you're not here to, like, be a cunt to Joe. Like, you're supposed to be a fucking interviewer. We're here to be cunts to Joe. But you're supposed to be, like, an interviewer.
No, you know what? I mean, I agree, but that's because they were trying to call out Andy. And one thing we know is that Andy does not like to be called out.
But he wasn't calling out Andy. Andy was being a bitch. He's like, how much were your suits, Joe?
And no, Joe said, he's like, ask me how much I paid for my suit. And so Andy's like, okay, how much did you pay for your suit? And then Joe's like, well, da-da-da-da-da. So Joe actually...
It came off questioning where Andy was like, well, how much do you spend on this and how much do you spend on that? Look, if you can get me to feel defensive towards the Judices, you're really an ass. You're really a fucking idiot. Because I think that those two are horrible. But Andy really had me on their side because I feel like he was just being a fucking asshole.
I was not on their side. And in fact, I was also just getting – I was getting really angry that, again, it was a situation where we're almost meant to feel sorry for them. And you start to feel sorry as they talk about their daughters. And it's like, gosh, that does suck. And I feel so bad for the daughters. And, oh, this is terrible. But I'm like, no. These people did this. They committed – and they're like, well, it was years ago before the housewives, as if that makes any difference. Like, you committed fraud. Like, you just – like, that's like, unacceptable.
I mean, I felt bad for them. I felt bad for them. Well, you know, one time when I was having dinner with my father, he said he was feeding us spaghetti, and when he threw it at my mother's head, it was actually noodles made out of zucchini. Do you know how much that traumatized us? It was fraud. Okay.
Well, one time Geraldine Parsons Smith came over, okay, and she said she was going to bring over some mozzarella, okay, but you know what she brought over? She brought over some Gouda, all right, and I said, you know what, Geraldine Parsons Smith, this is not mozzarella. What you have done is you have defrauded me. You've given me the wrong cheese. I'm sorry. It's the wrong cheese. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, look, I feel bad because as dumb as they are and as idiotic as they are, you get to know them watching them on TV. I mean, I can stomach anybody. I mean, Frankie Grande I can stomach because I've seen him on the whole show, like 40 episodes of TV. Like, I could even stomach him at this point because I'm used to him.
I had a dream that Frankie Grande was in. I'm not going to say I had a dream about Frankie Grande, but I had a dream I was watching a football game, and he was like a wide receiver on an NFL team. And he like caught a ball for a touchdown, and I was like, oh, fuck this guy. He's going to be so cocky, even more cocky than ever. That was my dream.
Oh my god, you said cocky and wide receiver in one sentence about Frankie Grande. You see what he drives us to?
I know.
The widest receiver out there. So, yeah, so I do feel bad for them to a degree just because I know them and I feel bad about their kids and I don't want their kids growing up all trouble. Like, I feel bad
for the kids. I feel bad for the kids because the kids are innocent and all this, and you know, it's terrible to be like young and you don't really know what's going on, and your mom gets taken away, and then you know, then your dad, and then the article. I posted an article on our Facebook page, facebook.com/watchforcrapins. I posted an article written by I think it was a former assistant attorney general or a current assistant attorney general, detailing the case and saying that it's highly likely that Joe is going to be deported. Like, this is always, I thought, to me, like an extreme thing. But apparently, because Joe has now been found guilty of this like a major felony, and because he has never been a citizen, the rules are that if, once you're done with your term, you have to be deported. And this assistant attorney general said that he's seen this happen many times, where people have been a green card holder for all their lives. They don't have any family or attachments in their home country. But because they never applied to be a citizen, this is what happened. But what's sad is that Joe had all this time to become a citizen, to apply, even after the charges came up.
Well, that's the thing. I don't understand. I mean, there's like a lot of little points we can go over with this, but the basic thing that got me from the entire show is how stupid they are. I mean, look, it's obvious that they're stupid. We know that. But they're really, really stupid. And I don't think that all of it was they didn't. I think a lot of it was they really didn't understand a lot of the things. Like, when they're refiling their paperwork, they're about to be thrown in jail, and they commit fraud on that paperwork too, and withhold. Yeah. And withhold.
And they blame it on the lawyers.
And then they're saying it was the lawyer's fault, and no, you know, they're just doing whatever the lawyer said. And I'm like, wow, you guys are really dumb. And Andy said, well, but Teresa, I don't understand why you would make a plea, like why you would plea this out if you weren't guilty. And she's like, well, you know, I didn't know what it meant. And he said, what do you mean you don't know what it meant? She's like, I didn't know what that meant, like what a plea meant. I just thought it meant, you know, the lawyers just told me, you know, you say what it is, and then your lawyers are supposed to take care of you, and so I did it. I was like, oh my God. So it's like she's basically putting herself in that position. Ugh. And I don't even know that it's bad legal advice, because they're right. Of course your lawyer is going to tell you, look, you can get 30 years for each count, and you've got 30 against you, so it might be better just to do a year, you know? But
yeah. And I think I'm going to assume that the lawyer said, okay, we need to see X, Y, and Z, and they gave him X and Y, you know? Like, and the lawyers can only control so much.
We're having a moment. A moment where I'm alone, waiting for Ben to come back to me. Ben, come back to me.
Back to me. Okay, I'm here. Okay.
Yay, it worked. You see, guys, whenever you're in doubt, musicals. Musicals will solve everything.
So what I was saying was that if the lawyers ask for all the revenue, and Joe and Teresa only provide a certain amount, the lawyers don't know about another stream of revenue, then, like, it's not the lawyer's fault, you know? I actually think the reason why they keep saying that they didn't realize, we didn't know, I guess we have to learn, I think it's because they want to, for their kids, they don't want to create this impression that they did something bad. They want to just be like, oh, we were uninformed, and let that be a lesson. Like, I actually feel like that's probably a motivating force.
Well, some of the favorite things that have been said in here was when Andy tells Teresa, did you learn anything? And she says, well, I don't read contracts every day, so I need to get better at that, which is hilarious because I can just imagine her in jail and they're like, Teresa, do you need toothpaste? And she's just like, could you get me some contracts so I can practice?
I know.
I need to leave here better with reading words on pages. Stupid.
I love when she said how she's. How, I love when she said how she's how much she's changed. She's like, you know, I would buy a used home.
Oh my God! It's like, poor Teresa. She's so stupid.
So stupid. So stupid. By the way, I love Paula Jones, one of our listeners, her comment on the article about why Joe would get deported, she goes, I'd rather be deported to Italy. # dream come true. I'm like, yeah, actually, that's a wonderful thing.
Well, that's what I was kind of thinking about the Joe situation, was Joe's probably going to let himself be deported on purpose, because according to that article that was posted, he will get deported, because you have to get deported when you have a felony and just a green card. You can't stay in the country. It's like against the rules. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's doing that on purpose just to get the hell out of here. I mean, the American dream's not really working out for Joe. Apparently he thought the American dream was just like taking shit and rolling around in it. And unfortunately it's not how it works. And he's probably like, fuck this. I'll just go live on a farm in fucking Italy for $10 and be done with it.
Where he can crash his car all he wants and drink 5 whiskey shots afterwards because he was so nervous.
Yeah, no one's going to pull over his mule.
Yeah. By the way, another thing the article said was that one of the reasons why they got such a harsh sentence is A, because they were fraudulent in the things they had to turn in right before the sentencing, and then also because the judge said, "Listen, I think Teresa, you're a very good mother, but you are a high profile case, and unfortunately, because you're high profile, we have to show people through your example that if you don't, file your taxes and do this or that, you will go to jail." And so one of our listeners, Jean Beaton Levitt, said, "I feel bad for them because they're on Bravo TV. They are, quote unquote, high profile. That's ridiculous. Make examples of the predatory lenders, why don't you? I would like to see at least one go to jail for 41 months.
I don't disagree with that, but I think that's something that a lot of people, that basically anybody defending Joe and Teresa right now in comments, and this is on our site, on Trash Talk TV, like anybody who's coming forward to defend them is saying the exact same thing. They're like, but what about the banks? Yep. They did it, no one cares. It's like, that's true, and we should do something about that, but we don't get to just all steal money from people. And they weren't just stealing money from banks. They were defrauding people. They were putting people out of business, small family businesses out of business, because they were stealing from them and robbing them blindly. And you can't just say, like, oh, I care about their family, so we should get the banks instead, when they're ripping off other families and putting them out of business and ruining their lives. Like, that's not cool. Right. It's not just a big bank with insurance, you know?
I also question our judicial system when they actually consider Bravo TV high profile.
Well, in the judge's defense, she also said, I was considering giving you a lenient sentence, and then you lied again.
Yeah, you know, I think that's really
you handed me a pack of lies again. It's like, I can't. You're making it impossible to be lenient with you because you keep fucking lying. They cannot tell the truth, you know.
And it's
it's gross. But a couple of my other favorite Andy lines, besides "What are you going to do about your hair and makeup in prison?" One of my other favorite ones was, "Teresa, are you depressed? Because you seem depressed." Really, Andy? She just got fucking sentenced to prison, you fucking fuckwit. And then he says, "But what about your temper, Teresa? Do you think you're going to get into fights in a prison?" And she's like, "That was no." She looked like she was going to fucking punch him in the face. She's like, "No." And he's like, "Really? Because you pushed me at that reunion." Right. Oh, my God, Cracker, please. Please. You're lucky you didn't get your ass beat at that reunion. You shouldn't have been standing up. That guy makes me crazy. He makes me crazy. I can't. And then Joe's like, "Yeah, what if a dyke comes after you?" Oh, my God, these people.
For the record, she will lose her temper in prison, and it'll be hilarious.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. Like, if any housewife is going to go to prison and, like, be the queen of it, it's going to be her. I wouldn't fuck with her.
Yeah. She's from Patterson. Don't you forget. She's from Patterson, bitch.
And then he goes further and says, she's like, no, I'll be okay. And he's like, but aren't you sad? She's like, I'll be okay. And he's like, but you're not thinking how I'm going to be physically in this place for 15 months. Okay, Anne, like, enough. Like, I get it. You get my point. But Jesus Christ with him.
Right.
And what happened to part two? Wasn't this a two-parter?
Part two is on Thursday.
I don't know, guys. I think I mean, what else can they say?
Andy's going to ask Teresa if she's mad at Joe for putting her in that position, and he's also asked Joe about deportation.
Slow sigh.
Yeah,
that's what I've got for that.
Speaking of slow sighs, should we talk about Manzoed with Children?
Yes, that is a really long sigh. That is a long, drawn out sigh.
A long, wheezy sigh. You know, so here are my impressions. I mean, here are my general impressions. I know you didn't ask for them, but I'm going to give them to you anyway.
No, wait, hold on. Ben, what are your impressions?
Oh, thank you so much for asking, Ronnie.
Of course.
You are such a good co-host.
Yeah.
You are so good.
Okay, tell me.
You know, so after the first half an hour was done, I was like, you know, as far as these sort of shows go, it's not the worst. It's not something I would normally tune in for, but it's, you know, it's fine. It's pleasant enough, you know. But then, you know, because it was like two episodes, by the time I was done with the second episode, I was like, this is too much. Like, I'm glad it's a half an hour. I could not watch an hour's worth of this every week. And I also kind of feel like the show kind of feels like this family that thinks they're a lot more entertaining than they really are. You know, like they are entertaining compared to other families, but they seem to be like aware that they have these like hijinks and silly things, and they sort of think that everything they do is as entertaining to the rest of the world as it is to each other. You know.
So I've never understood that about this family. Never. I mean, the first scene is them playing ball, and the guys are like, "Oh yay, you're touching my balls!"
Yeah. I mean, if we're gonna compare this to something like Charlie for the Party, like I like this. I don't know. I think I like this more than Charlie for the Party, but then it's the same time.
Oh, I don't. I mean, I think Kim Zolciak is a legitimately hilarious human being. Like
that's the thing. So that's why I go back and forth.
She's legit funny, I think.
And it's funny because the first half an hour, the first show, I was like, you know, this is sort of getting back to the Caroline that I used to like back in the day. And then the second half an hour, I was like, oh, fuck this bitch. Although I did laugh when she was dangling on a trapeze. That I was like, the image of her, this like this meatball flying from one end to the other. That was funny.
I've always kind of liked Caroline. Like the only time I really didn't like her, oddly enough, was when she turned on Teresa. Only because I felt like she didn't have a real reason. She just was jealous. And I was like, you're supposed to be above all this, and that's why I like you, and you're not above it. And you're, like, literally, like, someone who's probably going to go to jail, you're talking about her purse and, like, taunting her on TV and just, like, making references to her going to jail and then talking about how she's just going to work it to get a spinoff. Like, she really turned into a nasty C-word there towards the end of her run on Jersey. Yeah. And then I kind of liked her again at the end because she had said, I don't remember where she said it, but she's like, yeah, I don't necessarily like what I saw last year. I saw myself become ugly and I didn't like that. And so she kind of redeemed herself, and I like her in this show. It's just her family. Weesh, sorry,
well,
boys.
I mean, again, the first half an hour, it was like the Caroline that I like. That was the one that I always used to really enjoy on New Jersey. And the second half an hour, because the whole point of the second episode was that Caroline wants to lose weight, and she is like, but she doesn't like to actually work out. And then it turns out that she also just doesn't like to get out of her comfort zone. So they send her, put her on a trapeze. So the thing is that the whole half an hour was her being like, I'm not going to do it. I don't do that. I don't do that. That's just not me. I don't do that. And like, I kind of don't love pessimistic Caroline when she's just like, no, I won't do that. Because that was the way she acted on the season of New Jersey when people started to say, you know what, I don't think I like Caroline anymore. I think people like Caroline when she's being nurturing and when she gives like real talk. I think people really like that when she says it like it is. But when she's doing this sort of like pseudo funny, like, I won't do that. No, no, no. It's sort of like annoying because people like that are not pleasant.
Yeah, I mean, I'm liking her. My problem is really her family. Like, it starts off with the boys, like, making bull jokes, and they're back at mom's because they're starting their Blackwater business, which, by the way, is not just starting. It's just failing miserably, and they still don't have
jobs. No, they're not. Wait, are they back doing Blackwater? They said they're starting a new business, but I didn't realize it was Blackwater. Is it Blackwater again?
I assumed it was still Blackwater. Do they have another business?
These guys are the worst entrepreneurs we've ever seen on Bravo. They have a new business every single year, and that always, not only does it always fail, but the concept is always so flawed. It's like, you know, it's going to fail hours away. I mean,
and then Greg calls and like, yeah, we had a gay friend when he was when it wasn't cool yet. Yeah, gay guy. What's up, gay guy? And Greg's like, I want a party. They don't know how to party in San Francisco. I'm like, really, Greg? They don't know how to party in fucking San Francisco? Are you crazy? And then it goes to Lauren, who has a shoot in Glamour magazine because of who her mother is, which is really fucking retarded. Who wants to get Glamour magazine to see Lauren Manzo? That is not glamorous, especially when the whole episode is about how she sweats from her pits too much and she has to get Botox in her pits. Like, how is that glamour? Glamour, you sold out.
I know. How about, like, I could see that being like a centerfold of like Egg Salad Quarterly, but not Glamour magazine.
Like cat fancy.
The Cafe's newsletter.
And when she's like, I feel like Carrie Bradshaw. Dating a fat guy doesn't mean you're dating Mr. Big, all right? You're just marrying a fat guy. Stop calling yourself Carrie Bradshaw, you dumb hoe. Get the hell off my screen, Lauren. Yeah. Stupid.
I mean, I did feel bad when she told stories about crying in the dressing room when she was 16. And, you know, that whole story that they trot out.
Give me a fucking break. You know, fat people
stop. Well, I feel bad for her.
I don't feel bad for her. That's too fucking much. I'm so sick of it. So what? I was a fat teenager, and I'm still a fat adult. I know it can hurt your feelings, but being fat is not an affliction. If you don't want to be fat, lose some fucking weight. It's like you're sitting there crying in the dressing room, but all you had to do was jog around the block. And listen, I tell myself the same thing when I'm feeling sorry for myself about my weight. I'm sick of people using that as like some personality. Being fat is not your personality, okay? Being insecure maybe got you fat, and you can work on that. But being fat is not a personality trait. It's a physical trait. So stop making your whole fucking life about you being a victim because you're fat. It's not like you were born with two heads or one leg or cancer or something else, okay? There are people with real problems in the world. Stop fucking crying about having too much to eat, you cow.
And the truth is that now that she's lost weight, she's actually, like, her personality is not the best. It's, like, a little spoiled and obnoxious.
I think it was the same when she was fat, but you kind of understand it. You know, like, I'm a total bitch, and when I'm fat, people are more accepting of it than when I'm thin. And that's the truth. You know what
it was? She had a bad attitude when she was fat. Like, she definitely did, and she was like a downer, and she was annoying, and she was mean, and she was surly. But now she's kind of like all those things with the added element of that I just lost weight egotism, you know?
Yeah.
There's a little bit of that, a little cockiness going on there.
Yeah, it's like when you lose 5 pounds and you're like, oh my God, everyone's so fat. Why can't they lose 5 pounds? I did it.
Yeah.
It's like totally normal. I do that every time I lose 5 pounds, by the way. I get really judgmental about other people, and then I fuck like 20 strangers. I'm like, I'm thin now. It's like, no, you're not. You lost 5 pounds and you still have 100 to go. So stop it.
Yeah. Every time I'm starting to feel like I'm looking really good, I'm like happy. And then like I like prance in front of the mirror, and then I like wind up in bad lighting, and then everything is destroyed. And I'm like, no, my body dysmorphia is back.
Well, it turns out that Ross Dress for Less sells really skinny mirrors because at home I look so cute. I don't, you know how like anorexic people have body dysmorphia? I don't have that. I have it in reverse where I look at myself and I'm like, there's nothing wrong. I look great. And then I'll pass myself, like the other day I was passing Subway and they have kind of a mirrored window. And I was like, holy crap, Delta Burke. When did you get in town?
Yeah, my biggest challenge are cars parked on the street, because in my apartment, I swear to God, my mirrors are very flattering. I'm like, damn. I'm like, look at this. Look at me. I'm getting everything in order. I like the way I look. I walk out on the street on like a sunny day, and I look, and there's like a car parked, and I see my reflection in the window, and the window is curved, so it like exaggerates everything, and everything looks all wrong, and my chest looks like I got like massive man boobs, and then the way the sun comes directly down, the shadows hit everything wrong, and I just basically want to go running for shelter.
Yeah, if I was in the government, I would ban car windows because I hate them too.
Yeah, they're terrible.
Or make them terrible. Like inverted or something. Like
I know they will make you look destroy. Better. They will destroy your day if you see yourself in a car. It exaggerates everything that you don't want to be exaggerated.
Could you imagine how valets feel like having to look at that many car windows all day long? They're probably all like so miserable. They're like, oh, I'm so bad.
Yes, I'm sure that's exactly what makes them the most miserable. That's exactly what valets complain about the most.
Oh, by the way, while we're talking about fat people, do you know what also really bugs me about this storyline? That's Coraline's sister. Is when Caroline sobs about it. It makes me crazy. Because it's not like it's the first time. And she's always like, oh, I remember when Lauren was fat. Shut up. You were the one who kept squeezing mayonnaise down her throat when she was a baby. What are you complaining about? I hate when moms make it all about them. Like, oh, it's poor you. You have a fat kid. Shut up, Caroline.
I think season one of Real Housewives, Lauren was on an all-cereal diet. I'm not even joking. I think there was like a scene where she was like buying cereal. She's like, it's my new diet. You eat only cereal. I was like, oh, that's great.
I've done that one.
That'll work out just fine for you.
I did that one. It kind of worked. My doctor said I was pre-diabetic, though, by the end of it.
Hey, you know, it's just a minor trade-off.
Yeah, Caroline, my mom was like that. She would, like, take me to all the different diets. She sent me to diet camp. I got fatter. Like, she took me to all these medical things. And I remember when Caroline did that with her, she took her to see Dr. Prager. Wasn't it Dr. Prager she went to see? Like, some famous diet doctor?
And he was like, yeah, I remember.
He's like, young lady, here's what you need to do. Eat egg whites. That's it. And she's like, oh, I could do that. She went home and just ate egg whites. It didn't really work out. Dieting sucks.
Well, I think it's also probably hard if you are living with your mother, if you're trying to lose weight and living with your mother, and you have a mother who refuses to work out and doesn't appear to have any healthy habits, like, that's hard.
Right. I'm sure that they weren't taught healthy habits. Like, they're all chunky except for Albie. And he'll get there.
Yeah.
You can see it. He's pre-chunky.
Yeah. Well, you know, Lauren, here's what Lauren needs to do. She needs to move out. She needs to get her own apartment because, A, she is, like, 35. Or that's how I feel like she is. She's probably like 23. But also, when you live on your own and you have to buy your own groceries, you can actually, you know, theoretically control a lot of, like, the food that you're eating. You know, you know, if it's not foolproof, but if you keep your kitchen stocked with healthier items, that's helpful.
Man, and fat people, being fat, being overweight, it's never easy to lose weight. It's going to be something that's going to be sucky and awful for your whole life, because no matter how much you get it under control, you're always going to crave a piece of pizza. And I feel for her. I get that, but I just don't like crying about it, you know?
That's a separate issue. I'm just saying, wouldn't it be better if she were in a place where there weren't, like, a giant, like, 5-gallon thing of Cheesy Poofs,
no,
you know, lying around?
No. Like, you would think so, but when you live alone, you don't have your mother there judging you when you buy a red velvet cake at 2 in the morning at Ralph's. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I guess that's true.
I live alone. Like, I'm fatter than ever. So, and I think it's because I can close my blinds at night and put Bueller in his crate and face it away from me so I could just be alone with my TV and my food. And it's fun. It's a hobby, but, yeah, it's... I don't know. Maybe I'll get one of the, no. I was thinking, because we met that girl at Leah's house who had, like, it wasn't lap band surgery, but she had some.
Yeah, she had, like, a sleeve.
The sleeve. And I was going to get it, but then she described it to me, and basically you can only eat a bite at a time, and you only eat, like, 4 or 5 bites a day, or you throw up or something. And I was like, no, I need to eat a red velvet cake. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it changes your... You basically sacrifice the act of breaking bread with people for the rest of your life.
Yeah. I mean, binging isn't only a disease. It's also a hobby. And I'm just not ready to give that up.
Yeah.
But thanks, Lauren, for giving me another opportunity to talk about my eating disorder. Dun, dun, Manzos!
By the way, I am so hungry. I am so hungry.
Oh, you're going to be just fine. Eat some egg salad.
I'm going to have an apple. I went apple picking this weekend, so I've got, like, 10 pounds of apples in my fridge.
I just threw an apple away. It just sat there for, like, a week and a half.
Oh.
Great story, guys. Okay. I mean, aren't you glad we're here doing this?
Why don't we move on to another show?
Okay.
Which one do you want to go
to
now?
That anger sapped me. All my anger is sapped from the Manzos. Well, we have... Thanks a lot, jerks. By the way, I don't know that we're necessarily committing to watching Manzos with children yet. We haven't really talked about that one yet. You guys let us know what you think. Is it worthy? If you think so, tell us on our page.
If we go up to 2 episodes, then we'll cover it for sure. But for right now, with 1 episode, I don't think that's
a way to get people to try and get us to 2 episodes.
That's true. We're like, listen, we have a 2nd episode. We will cover the shitty stuff that no one wants to watch.
Yeah.
So you're welcome.
Duck Dynasty it is. Okay, so next up, what else did we have this week? The Real Housewives of Melbourne and The Real Housewives of New Jersey.
And Below Deck.
Oh, and Below Deck as well.
Can we do Real Housewives of Melbourne, because it was so entertaining, as usual, as the reunion episode, and I took a lot of notes.
They didn't show 2 parts, right?
Yeah, only 1 part.
Okay, good.
So the first thing that I thought was hilarious was that when the reunion started, they did this new thing that they've been doing now where the women, they show the women pulling up to the soundstage, and they're, like, not in any makeup. Their hair is all wet from a shower, and they walk in, and you hear the voiceovers of being like, I'm just going to say it like it is. And, like, everyone shows up looking like shit. And then Gina pulls up, and she's, like, all glamorous rhinestones, hair all done up. I was like, classic Gina.
Yeah, she shows up, and she's already done, and she just has, like, a little bag with, like, a magazine in it.
Yeah.
Everyone else brings, like, 3 suitcases, which is hilarious because they all accuse her of being a drag queen and too much about her appearance and this and that, when she came ready to go.
Yeah. That cracked me up. And then we finally met the I'm going to assume the Andy Cohen of Australia, Mr. Alex Perry, who, by the way, I think he's had more work than any of the women on that stage.
That work. It was like watching Gollum go down a roller coaster on the downhill part where all your skin is being blown back. It looked like that.
Oh, God. And he had like these weird fillers that made his eyes squinty. It was just like a disaster.
His lip injections, his everything. Everything is wrong. Look, when you're getting older, you do not look younger with plastic surgery. You just look crazy, okay? Especially men.
Yeah, especially. I mean, that was just like this guy, absolutely absurd. And then on top of that, he wore sunglasses on his head the entire time.
Oh, I couldn't I'm like, with this guy.
You're inside. Like, this is an intentional accessory that you're doing. It looks so ridiculous and douchey. Ugh, awful.
Well, my first thought was at least Foxtel's gays are as horrifying as Bravo's gays. It's at least fair.
I know. And he seemed so uncomfortable at first. He was sitting at the edge of his seat, and he was, like, all stiff. It was just...
Well, he's not the Andy Cohen of Australia. They don't have one because Andy Cohen was, like, a producer on all these shows, and that's why everybody has to kiss his ass. Right. Because he was, like, one of the heads of the network or whatever. This guy's not. He's, like, a judge on the Australian version of Top Model and what was his other credit? Like, he does shit like that. And he's a designer. He's a couture designer. So
yeah, I figured it was something like that.
Yeah, so he's like a legit person, but they're just like, oh, just get a fabulous gay to come be Andy Cohen. And then he shows up with fucking sunglasses on his head. Well, the interesting news, I actually looked him up because I was like, this guy's the worst, and I wanted to know about him. So I looked him up, and he had to shut down his Twitter after he did this reunion because people were attacking him and saying that he was condoning bullying, and he's supposed to be an advocate against bullying, and he was he was right there in the middle bullying people, and I was like, what?
That's crazy.
And like letting the encouraging the women to bully each other. I'm like, that's what
that's
what you do at a reunion. You hand them baseball bats and you stand back.
And by the way, none of the stuff at the reunion or any reunion is bullying. Okay, bullying is when you like go up to someone and you like taunt them and you pants them, you know, you just, you know, having a disagreement, fighting with people is not the same as bullying.
Well, what the ladies are contending, and of course it's these awful whores,
Andrea and Lydia,
they're alleging that Jenner's fans went all crazy on them and were attacking them on Twitter, and it got real bad on social media. And one of my favorite things that Andrea said, because Andrea is trying to act all nice in this, which is absolutely hilarious. Because
and by the way,
work.
her hair looked really good. I will give her that.
I can't see. Once I've seen a heart that black, I see nothing else. I only saw black heart. But one of my favorite moments was when she was like, well, you know, there are people on social media who come out and they attack you. And they're crazy. And Gina has a bunch of fans that are crazy. But I'll tell you, I turned a couple of trolls when I just explained things to them. I turned a bunch to my side. I'm like, shut up. You did not.
Shut up.
What are you going to put people on your side? You have nothing. She's like, well, she was late, though. And they're like, oh, you're right, Andrea. Good one, Andrea. Way to sway the masses, babe.
Andrea cracked me up because the whole episode, anytime Gina pretty much said anything, Andrea's whole thing was that she would try to shame her. She goes like, oh, Gina, that's awful. You awful person for saying that.
Oh, Gina, what that's a disgusting terrible. Human being for saying that, Gina.
Gina, that's terrible.
Oh,
that's
you
terrible.
Be ashamed
they'd be like,
of yourself.
And every time they'd be like, well, you know, Gina's a whore. You know, Gina's a terrible person. She has her children sleep around. And then Gina would be like, well, they sleep with you. And she'd be like, oh, Gina, what a terrible thing to say. What a terrible thing to say, Gina. A little bit of friendly advice for you, Gina. Don't say terrible things. What do you call someone who says, hey, here's one for you. What do you call someone who says terrible things? Gina.
Yeah, they were really ready to go at Gina. And Gina just didn't give a fuck. I mean, we talked about this last week. She did not take the Lisa Vanderpump route where you just like, just act like a victim, cry a little bit, and get everybody on your side. Yeah. She was like, go suck yourself off, you dumb slag.
I know. She was like, you're an insignificant ass hair. Actually, one of my favorite things that Gina did, I mean, she, the thing that Gina does that's so hilarious is that she truly does not give a fuck. So when they showed footage of her saying, like, oh, she's a moron, you see her watching the footage and goes, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I don't use that word. I didn't say that. But Gina, you just saw footage of yourself. She's like, no, I didn't say it. Oh, Gina, you're terrible. Isn't that a line from Muriel's Wedding?
Yeah,
like, Muriel, you're terrible.
Yeah, that was hilarious. They're like, Gina, do you remember when you called her a moron? No, I didn't. Clip of Gina calling her a moron. I never said that. Gina, we just saw you on the tape. Nope, I didn't say it. I wouldn't use that word, moron. I don't even like that word, moron.
You moron. I never say the word moron, you stupid moron.
You stupid moron. Oh my God. I'm just going to kind of start at the beginning of notes because there is so much in this. But one of my favorite things was Andy, whatever. What should we call him? I don't know his name.
It's Alex. Alex Perry.
Alex. So when Alex is like, well, what do you think, Lydia, when it's suggested by some of the housewives that you don't do anything all day long but sit around and act rich, you know? She's like, well, I actually graduated. I graduated from school, and I've got a degree now in interior design, and my husband lets me look at his hotel that he's building, so I go there and I look at it, and, you know, there you have it. So what? You walk into a construction site, and now you're a fucking designer? Shut the fuck up. And it doesn't count if your husband gives you the job, you slag.
Yeah. As a recent graduate, I know how to do interior design, and that's a job in and of itself, just knowing how to do it.
Yeah, just knowing how. Andrea is afraid for her children because of all of Gina's fans. She's afraid for her children and all the bullying that's been going on.
Poor Andrea. Please. Yeah. I liked when Andrea started to cry. She started to tell a story about how, you know, she's like, you know, there was a time when we didn't really have that much money in the bank, when we overdrafted, and she started to cry. She's like, it's so hard. It's like, you don't have to cry about the fact that you were poor once. Like, it's okay. We know you're wealthy now. Like, it's not a chink in your armor. Like, don't cry about it. She's like, there was one time when I didn't have enough money in my wallet, and it was really hard for me.
This is Andrea. It's like every day for the rest of us. It's like, I remember one time I wanted a car and I couldn't afford it and I had to drive my old car.
I'm sorry. Here's a bit of friendly advice. Stop making me cry. Just want to give some advice, you know?
Oh, and I love her when she's... This is like when she's on her whole reputation fixer tour. So she's like, yeah, see, I was poor. She's like, and everyone accusing me of fat, you know, they were talking about glamour or something. He's like, what about glamour? What about fashion? You all love fashion. And she's like, actually, I don't wear designer clothes. I wear normal clothes that normal women would find in normal places. I don't see the need to find expensive things to wear because I'm normal. I'm just one of the people. I'm a working mom. I don't need expensive clothing. I'm a working mom.
And you know what? You know what? I believe her because there's no way she paid more than $10 for that ugly as shit white lace thing that she wears every interview episode, interview segment. That thing is so nasty. There is no way that
I think that's actually an Australian designer, because in the article where I was reading about Alex getting bullied, the news people he was talking to in this article, one of them was wearing that exact same outfit. The news lady was wearing that same outfit. And I'm like, oh my God, either that's a hand-me-down because Andrea used to be a news reporter, or this is like popular in Australia.
By the way, this is...
You never know when fashion's going to show up somewhere. I met a Jewish lady the other night wearing one of those like silk shirts that are see-through, but then you're wearing like a t-shirt under. When did that come back?
Yeah, it's back. And by the way, you mentioned that Andrea's a reporter. This is a nice way to plug someone posted footage of her. It was actually, she was being interviewed on a show, and they showed footage of her as a reporter. That video, someone posted it on our Patreon.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty funny. She's like, remember that? Remember when I was a reporter?
On page, patreon.com.
She actually, you were cutting out there. Sorry, your plug was dead, Ben. Your plug was killed by the internet.
I can't believe Skype killed the plug. All I was
it's
saying
off again.
Is that if
I
you
don't
want,
think you should say it. I think Skype is sick of
see footage of
shit.
Andrea.
You see Skype? You see audience? Skype keeps cutting off poor Ben. Ben, who was just trying to plug the Patreon page. Poor Ben. Oh, by the way, when I was day. There you are, Ben. Can I hear you?
I think I'm back.
Welcome back from intermission, Ben. We had a nice break talking crap about you on the podcast.
I'm here. Anyway, I'm not going to try to plug that again because every time I do it, disaster. Can we talk about Chica's husband who left that really
what
weird video?
What was that about? Okay, is Chica's husband a producer on the show or something? What was that? Come on.
Hello.
Hello there, Ben. Welcome back. I've been talking to myself about Chica's husband.
Oh,
I'm trying
God.
To look up on the internet. Ben, if you have anything playing in your background there on the internet, if you've got your internet open, if you've got any kind of internet-y things, you better turn them off now, Ben.
Right? Well, I have the internet open, but that's about it.
Well, you keep cutting out, Ben. And I know it's you because there's white dots pointing at your head here while I'm looking at the podcast page.
Oh, yeah? There's a white dot pointing at my head? Let me give you a little friendly advice. I'm going to shut down my browser. Maybe that'll help things out a little bit.
Ben, I was telling everyone how I went to a Yom Kippur party this week. And that's how I saw a Jewish lady in a see-through shirt, Ben.
Oh, wow. Let me give you a little friendly advice.
They're wonderful, Ben. They have wonderful parties. They know how to binge, Ben.
Let me give you a little friendly advice.
Yeah.
Next time you want to see some fashionable Jews, go to a fashionable Jewish party. Ha ha ha. Oh, wait. So Chica's husband, Bruce, had this weird moment in the middle of the reunion where he recorded something that they aired because I'm sure they reached out to him and they were like, do you want to be on the reunion? And he's probably like, well, I'm in Boston, but let me record something. And it was this like weird like toast to the ladies. And he's like, Andrea, you could be the juggler. Gina, you're the lion. I'm like, what is this? He's like, it was like this extended circus metaphor about all the women. It was so weird.
Yeah, he's like, hello, everybody. This is like American Horror Story Freak Show. All right, we've got the two-headed monster, which is Andrea. Andrea, both of your heads. Looks crazy and crazier every year because of her age. All right. Benny is still there.
I'm here.
Who else is on Freak Show? Chica, you're just like Kathy Bates. I say that because she's got most of the same dresses that you do, Chica, and you've got kind of a beard like Kathy Bates does in Freak Show, but I still love you. And the good thing about having a gay husband is gay people love Kathy Bates, darling. All right, everybody, welcome back. Sorry about the technical difficulties. I blame Gina because she's a horrible human being.
Gina, I can't believe you did that to the podcast. That's just terrible, Gina.
Gina, that was your fault. Talking about dirty things, saying awful things about people, having people bully us on the social media, Gina.
Gina, that's how awful. What an awful person for doing that to Skype, Gina.
Yeah, Gina, right in the middle of my American Horror Story comparisons, Gina.
Gina, how awful. Gina, you're terrible, Gina.
One of my favorite things was the Lydia's sex life montage, where Lydia's talking about boning her old scuzzy husband. Okay, now here's the deal. I don't care if you're married to somebody who's older than you. I don't care if you're married to a turtle. I'm one of those people. You know, you can have 10 wives. I don't care. My thing is when you just marry an old man for money, and then you try and pretend you did it because he's hot. He is not hot. You married that old fucker because of his money. No young, beautiful woman wants to be walking in the mall and tripping over their husband's balls. Okay? You are totally dating him for his money. Stop fronting. You already told us you had to sign in your marital contract that you'd fuck him whenever he wants to. So please, you're just basically a whore. And when Gina says that you married a man for his money and you're basically an institutionalized whore, she's telling the damn truth. Stop getting so offended, Miss Private Plane to get cheese, but can't pronounce half the words you say. Stupid.
And thinks the Louvre is in London.
Stupid. Stupid. She's like, oh, I don't have to clean my hair. That's for someone else. I ride that half-hard pole half two times a day. It smells like the cheese I buy on the private plane. I earned what I've got. You think that's not work? It's the oldest profession, all right?
She nods her head up and down.
As she nods. See, that's what I'm doing while I talk. Can you hear it in the microphone? I'm nodding my head.
Yeah. I liked when Andrea, on part of her Like Me tour, which is trying to make people like her, I liked when she starts trying to become relatable and talk about how she's really, like, you know, she's done the struggle. She knows how to, like, no one realizes how hot it is when she's trying to raise some children. She's just trying to raise some children. And Gina's like, well, I think in many ways, but she's, actually, I'm sorry. I think in many ways that we're the equivalent of each other, except I'm doing it with no husband and with two kids. And Andrea hated that. And just, like, totally stole Andrea's struggling mom gambit.
Yeah, you're not a struggling mom when you have five nannies. Oh, and I love Andrew. He's like, yes, but don't you have five nannies? People have given you a lot of trouble on social media, which I love that Twitter has this. Twitter was basically built to abuse housewives, which I think is hilarious because it's the only show I've ever heard it mentioned this much. But anyway, he's like, no one likes you have all those nannies. And she's like, listen here, I don't have five nannies. What I have are five college girls who are in college that I can call on day and night to do whatever I please. And he's like, oh, all right. Well, that makes sense. And she's like, you see? And he's like, oh, totally understand, babe. Oh, thanks for clearing that up, Andrea. Much better.
Yeah. Yeah. I also thought, Gina was hilarious this reunion because she had a good comeback for everything. Like when Andrea was like, you've got a vulgar mouth. And she's like, you've got a vulgar heart. You know, I loved that. And then when they showed the segment of Gina putting down everyone, and it was like this extended montage of Gina just making fun of every single housewife. And she was like, oh, she's stupid. She's an insignificant. She's an idiot. She's a twat. She's a twit. It's just one after the other. They're all being taken down, including like Jackie. She was like, well, Jackie, she should just like go back to the Eastern Borough where she came from, whatever she said. And then afterwards, Andrea's like, again, she goes, that's a terrible thing to say, Andrea. You called her a boger. What, there was some slang going on. I didn't even understand it. They're called each other like bogers or something like that, or boogers. That's terrible. It's terrible.
That's awful. How could you say something so terrible? That's Lydia. Why could you do something like that, Gina? Oh, there you are, Gina. Disgusting. You should be ashamed of yourself. When they showed that clip where she's like, oh, your sons are going to be fucking on this couch. And she's like, no, I don't want to talk about it. And he's like, well, why didn't you want to talk about your sons fucking on the couch? And she's like, because a middle-aged woman talking about my children fucking is kind of disgusting to me. And Lydia's like, sex with children isn't disgusting. What a vulgar thing to say, Gina. How vulgar.
Gina, you're terrible. That's a terrible thing to say. Oh, Gina. They always, a lot of times they would always start with, oh, Gina.
Oh, Gina. Disgusting.
Oh, what an awful thing to
and
say.
Meanwhile, Gina's just like, oh, fuck off, twat. Oh, suck my dick. I don't give a shit what you say. Like that all day. Love it.
Janet was the only one who seemed to have like a sense of humor about it. Like when they showed the footage of Gina calling her a twit, Janet like slapped her on the thigh. I was like, oh, you stop there right now. You know, but the rest of like everyone was just like shocked.
Yeah, but Janet's the one who started everything. So I think at mm-hmm. some point she just has to have a sense of humor because she's, you know, I mean, people could have been a lot meaner to Janet than they were, frankly. And they weren't, you know, they were nice doors. Well, like they helped her cross the street instead of. They helped her along the crosswalk instead of pushing her down. You know, something.
Well, I think that Janet's a meddler, but ultimately she's a nice person. So I think that's what came out.
I mean, that's why I guess. Nice I don't really know what the proof is that she's a nice person, but she's at least fun.
She seems nice. Yeah.
She'll at least smile and take you to lunch while she's stabbing you in the back. Thanks, mm-hmm. Janet. Thanks a lot, Janet. Yeah. But
you know what I call Janet? You know what I call Janet? A generally nice person who might stab you in the back once in a while.
Hey, Jenny, let me give you some friendly advice. Next time you talk to me, talk to me. Oh, hey, look, Janet, look at that chair. You know what Gina's going to do to that chair? She's going to sit in it.
Hey, Gina, nice shoes. Looks like you've been wearing them on your feet all day long.
Oh, that's disgusting what you did to those shoes, Gina. How you put them on your feet like that.
Oh, Gina. I can't believe you put your dirty feet in those shoes. Shoes aren't meant for feet, Gina. Oh, Gina, how vulgar.
Those poor shoes. You're a bully. You know, I'm only doing this show to show my children how to stand up against bullying. Okay. Mm. Okay, Andrea. You have fun next year doing nothing in your husband's office, acting like you're working when you're trying to get your Spanx tie. Okay.
I just finished my app, by the way. I really hope you guys couldn't hear me chewing it. I was trying to chew away from the mic.
I heard it, Ben.
I'm sorry.
Ben.
Oh, Ben. How awful. Oh, I can't believe you're eating in people's ears.
Ben, that apple's awful, Ben. All right. I want to talk about Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Oh, Ronnie. How awful.
Ronnie. What a horrible, hideous person. All right. So we do have our own version of that. And something that this is a too late segue, which I could have worked in earlier, but I didn't, is when I was reading that article about Alex complaining about how he had to leave Twitter because people were bullying him.
Yeah.
He was like, you know, these Australian shows are nothing, you know. I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, Melbourne is probably at a 6. Most of the other in the franchise are 3 times as bad, which would put them on a scale of 18, by the way. But, yeah. Then I watched Jersey, and I was like, yes, you're correct. We are at least 3 times as bad as that. I mean, in all of Melbourne, what were the fights? Someone didn't believe in a psychic. They didn't believe in psychic abilities, right? Someone was late. Someone used the word cunt privately in a bathroom.
Someone had the improper footwear on a tennis court.
And that was pretty much it, right? I mean, that was like the entire controversy of the entire season. So, Jersey, someone's fucking someone's mom.
Like, yeah.
Well, all right, already. You already win, okay?
Yeah.
So, they're still in Boca, which every time I see that, I just start laughing. Because I love that Bravo's gotten that cheap. They're like, well, we just sent the other girls to Bali, so Jersey can go to Boca. When the light fixtures in your mansion come from Home Depot, you're in trouble, okay? I've seen those. I've seen those light switch
cars. Yeah, it was a pretty low-rent vacation. And not only that, their mansion was, like, part of, like, a planned community around a little lake. Like, the next houses were, like, next door. It was, like, not quite a getaway.
Yeah, that was, like, a timeshare.
But we did get to see Joe shirtless, which I liked.
Joe Gorga is getting... Joe Judice a little bit. He's sort of turning into, like, he's still muscular, but
getting
now,
puffy.
Like,
yeah.
It's like the fat's coming under the muscle, so it's just puffing him out, which, hey, it's still fine by me.
Yeah.
I would suggest sunblock, though.
Yeah, that's a good rule of thumb for all of them, really.
Because he kind of looks like the same Joe Gorga. It looks like somebody put tracing paper over Joe Gorga's face, spilled tea on it, and then traced it. Like, it doesn't look right. There's something weird looking about
it. It's puffy. It's puffy,
but it's also like crinkly and burned. It looks burned. It looks like he's had third degree burns. He's turning himself into Freddy.
Yeah.
Lots of burning going on there. Put on some suntan lotion.
Be in all our dreams.
We don't stay young forever. All right, hon. Okay, yeah, so...
He should learn from his sister.
Amber and Jim have just arrived at Boca, and they're already starting shit. Bobby went to hide in the bathroom, and one of the funny things I read on Twitter this week, I don't even remember who said it, I'm sure one of you can remind me in the comments, but someone on Twitter suggested, and it was some celebrity too, suggested that Bobby ran into the bathroom to erase texts from this mystery girl, which I think is a very good theory, because...
Bobby did
immediately run to the bathroom the minute some other girl was brought up, locked himself in there, and would not come back until pictures and texts were erased.
I know, and such a weird tactic to run into the bathroom.
Yeah.
Like, that's such a... Like, it was so bizarre. And, like, and then the girl was trying to get him out. The whole thing was very strange. I like that theory a lot.
I do, too. I think it's dead on. And I love that that stupid girl that he's dating, I don't remember which one it is, but one of the twins, how she's like, I don't like how you went to the bathroom to take that call, because you should have been talking to me, and you're in the bathroom. He's like, I'm sorry, babe. She's like, well, next time I'll be in the bathroom. Like, why is that an explanation that you're okay?
If I had a culotta for every time he went to the bathroom, every time I needed him, oh man, I would have the most culottas in the world.
I'd be Lord Manto size by now.
I would be the Donald Trump of culottas. You could make a state called Culotta State, North Culotta. And I'd be the president of the state. Even though states don't have presidents, I'd be the president.
So I love that Amber is supposedly not standing behind what Jim is saying. So Jim basically tells everybody off and then drops the bomb. Oh, well, you're fucking your husband fucked your mom or whatever.
Yeah.
So then everybody freaks out, and Amber is wasted at this point. And obviously they were passing something around this party that was not just alcohol, because we know, well, we don't know. This is allegedly, of course. Thank you, Kathy Griffin. But it seems as though Melissa and Joe have found their way to the glass pipe store, because those two, their eyes are always doing something fucked up, and they're always messed up on something. And I'm thinking there was a little coke or something being passed around, because Amber was not only shit-faced, she kept licking her lips and adjusting her jaw and doing a lot of cokey kind of things. So I'm wondering if they got her ass coked up and then just watched her go, because she was crazier than ever.
And then she was like, she was having a cigarette. She's like, I'm having a cigarette. You see this? I'm having a cigarette. I haven't had a cigarette since, I don't know, how many years? Since the cancer. How many years since cancer? Huh? I'm having a cancer cigarette. I have cancer.
Look at me. I'm having a cigarette. Look at this. A cigarette. Look at me. I'm having a cigarette.
That was like her storyline for the episode. Oh my God. Last night, I had a cigarette. Oh my God. I had a cigarette.
Yeah, she said it like I had a cigarette. 20 times. My favorite Amber moment,
I have a cigarette.
My favorite cancer moment, though, was when they finally get kicked out. Dina asks them to leave, and she's like, I came here to celebrate my good test results with these people, and they don't even appreciate it.
I know.
Like, Amber was doing everybody a favor by bringing her almost cancer storyline into this event. Delusional cow, bye. Enjoy your one season. Bye. Please leave my TV forever.
But meanwhile, she and Jim had a weird moment. Like, after she brought Jim upstairs, they were in the room, and she was crying at him. But then they were, like, laughing, which made me wonder...
They're fucked up.
How much... Well, they were definitely fucked up, and I wonder how much of this was sort of staged by them. Like, they had planned to do this. Because they were laughing. They were laughing.
Yeah, they're laughing about it, and she's just repeating herself over and over, sitting on the bed with her legs, like, spread wide open, like, airing her vagina at him. And then her makeup, she had so much makeup on. It was like that drunk girl section of the night, which yeah. Lord knows I've got enough of them in my group. That at like 3 in the morning, they're once they've crinkled their heads enough, they've got those big makeup lines on their face. And their face looks yeah. like it's made out of clay and it's cracking. And they just look fucking crazy. And you just know that he just wanted to go away, but he couldn't.
Yeah.
And it was just a wonderful, wonderful thing to watch. He's like, can you believe it? You want to believe it? Blah, blah. And he's like, yeah, babe. Please close your legs. And blah, blah, blah. And she's like, you know, Joe's, my husband's tough. He goes to war every day. He's in mortgages. What fucking war is he going to every day?
All I know is that if she were really pissed at Jim, there would have been no discussion. She would have, like, it would have been silent treatment. But the fact that they were still sitting there and then laughing, I was like, obviously, she didn't care. She liked it.
Yeah, obviously, Jim has to bring up fucking the mom because she doesn't want to get in trouble for it again.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But something interesting, when they come out with the you're fucking your mom stuff, no one really denied it. Everyone just yeah. said, you're disgusting. You're disgusting. So what a disgusting thing to say.
And then they got mad at Dina, which was sort of strange. That like didn't make sense to me. Like, you shouldn't have been talking. It should have been dead. It would have been dead. You shouldn't have been talking about it at all. I'm mad at Dina for perpetuating. It's like, what? No, Dina shouldn't have gotten involved, but it's not really Dina's fault. And in fact, I agree.
It's not normal. Like, if you had a secret about me and you didn't want to hurt my feelings by telling me, that would be you being a good friend. But if we're on a reality show and you're talking about it every episode on camera and I don't know about it, but you're still perpetuating this rumor by saying that my husband fucked yeah. my mom over and over, yeah. that's not being cool.
Okay, that's a good point.
That's different.
That's a good point. Because I was like, I thought it was stupid for Dina to broach it last week. When Dina heard about it, she should have been like, okay, whatever. I see what you're saying, yeah. Because like being on it's like I wasn't considering the fact that every time Dina talks about it, it's on camera and that perpetuates it. So yes, I understand that.
And then they can't stand but the whole thing was themselves, mostly. I mean, if Dina really liked her, she would have been like, Teresa, what? Okay, I'm calling the girls, called them and said, hey, listen, Victoria Gotti is trying to get back on TV, so she told Teresa that your husband's fucking your mom, so you better take care of this shit right now. And then yeah. those twins would have been like, oh my god, I can't believe her. Let's get a culotta, fill up my gas. Hurry, honey, fill it up, honey.
I need a culotta right now.
Yep,
right now, let's go drive to a house.
And they would have had to a fucking house. Fit at Victoria Gotti's house.
Yeah, like that piece of let's drive to a house, let's look at it through the window and go to Dunkin' Donuts to get a culotta, okay? And then we'll talk about it next time because that's fate. So we'll see you at a party, okay?
But yeah, the twin, Teresa is the one married one, right? So Teresa
yeah.
did not look like, what a silly thing, what a stupid rumor to be spread. She looked mortified that she had to deal with this on TV. And
yes,
totally, completely crushed by it. And I actually felt bad for her. But, I mean, if your husband's fucked your mom and people know, please don't go on TV. I mean, I feel like that should be a rule yeah. when you're auditioning for a reality show. I think they should yeah. say, have you or your husband fucked your mother? Okay, then don't go on the reality show. Okay?
The only one who seemed to actually deny it was Vito, sort of. Later in the episode, Vito appeared after Jim and Amber left. They were all having dinner, and then Vito and Teresa came in, and he's like, it was such an outlandish thing. It was such an outlandish thing. I mean, how could you believe something that's so outlandish?
We could make better stories up. I could give you better stories that are real than we did. Like, remember that time we found that orphan under the underpass, and we did it? I mean, we spit-fired her. Teresa had a strap-on, but we spit-fired her, and we took a change. Ha! Not that we needed the money, but, you know, it was fun. It was fun!
Hey, and now she works at my restaurant. Hey. It's good. It's fun.
I didn't fuck a mother, but I fucked her father twice, and then he came on my face. It's like, gross. I don't want to hear a story.
That's a better story.
Any story that's true that is worse than you fucking your mother-in-law, I really don't want to know it. So please just keep it to yourself. He's like, we have worse things that are true. I'm like, wow. Yeah, that's what's scary, and that's what leads me to believe that you probably did fuck her. So please just stop.
Yeah.
Quit while you're, quit while you're yeah. not ahead.
The only other thing that happened in Florida once Jim and Amber were kicked out was that they went on like a little yacht, and what's his face? Bobby and Joe like had like this bromance thing where it was mainly like Bobby was it seemed like Bobby was kind of like molesting Joe. At one point they were like frolicking in the water and they went up on the beach and Bobby started doing like CPR and like mouth to mouth to Joe. It was like very sexual. And I loved when Dina was saying, you know, the only reason why I think Bobby was hanging out with Joe so much is that he just wants to get closer to the cool kids, which AKA means he wants to be famous.
Yeah, he just wants to be on TV, which is painfully obvious at this point.
Yeah.
And we haven't read anything that they've broken up, but if she's still with him after this, she's sadder than I imagine. I mean, he's basically the Dana of this
show. Yeah.
Right? 25,000.
Except he's probably like, hey, you see this? See these sunglasses? 25 cents, huh? 25 cents, huh?
25 cents, and I'm worth $500 million. He's like the richest person on any Housewives show ever. And he's just a pathetic kangaroo on set. So, something else that I liked in this episode, Jacqueline. Jacqueline and Kathy trying to pretend they're friends, and they're on the show for no reason. Nobody can understand what the fuck they're doing here. But they keep putting them in scenes together. And Jackie has nothing to talk about besides autism and Teresa. And today we're lucky enough that it was Teresa. And she's like, but I texted Teresa again, and she still didn't text. And Kathy's like, listen, just let it go. I have no time in my life for people like that. Concentrate on your husband and do something fun. Like, maybe you could go down memory lane. Jack's like, what? She's like, you know, like maybe like the where you met. I'm like, yeah, hang upside down from a pole, wait for him to come in, crush his family life, have him leave his family. And it's like, how is that fun? You know, how about we start like a year after we met? That'll be a nice dinner.
Yeah,
Kathy. That's good advice, Kathy.
Yeah, I mean that was like the Jacqueline story was so it was a big nothing. They had a date night. They remembered things, and now they're going to sell their house. Like, who cares?
Well, they had a date night, but they're basically trying to do pre-Judice damage control because they're seeing what's going on with Joe and Teresa at this point in shooting. It's obvious that one or both of them is going down for the count. Well, they were not allowed, which we didn't discuss before, their bankruptcy was overturned. Did you know that part?
No.
So they had gone through this bankruptcy, blah, 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 and all their debt was going to be erased, which was like $13.5 million, and it was overturned. So they now are on the hook for $14 million.
Why was it overturned?
I don't know. I guess because of all the false shit that they were turning in. You can't just say you're bankrupt and be done with it. Because they weren't. Damn it, I know that. I know the answer to this. I've read enough this week. Because they did not. Actually, the recapper Chick Bomb on Trash Talk TV talked about it. Because they didn't claim certain things in their bankruptcy. They didn't claim their ATVs. And what was the other thing that they didn't claim?
I thought the ATVs. That was Joe Giudice didn't claim the ATVs.
But it's both their bankruptcy.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Chris and Jacqueline Larita.
No. I'm sorry. I jumped back to Teresa. So anyway, so their bankruptcy was overturned as well. So they're on the hook for now $14 million. So just to add to that misery. But anyway, Chris and Jack, I think, are trying to do... Because a lot of the reason Teresa and Joe got in trouble was evidence that was used from the TV show. I mean, all of the hours of footage... beyond even what we see on TV were subpoenaed by the court. So a lot of evidence against them was stuff that was recorded by the cameras. And I think that Chris and Jacqueline now are like, okay, you know, they're going to be looking at this show. So let's spend scenes talking about how we're humble and we're fine changing our lifestyle and we're just trying to do the right thing. Like, how many fucking people did you two rip off? And they're acting like, oh, it's just the economy that's got us down. No, it's not. It's because you've been fucking ripping people off, dude. You're no better. That's why you're not throwing stones at Teresa. Give me a fucking break.
Yeah.
Phonies.
Yeah.
Phonies, balonies. Okay, you guys? That's what I say.
Mm-hmm.
So what else?
Should we move on to Below Deck real quickly before we wrap up the show?
Yes, I'm trying to see. The only other thing I wrote down was on Teresa's romantic date with Joe, he called an oyster a sloppy vajayjay. Yeah. He giggled like it was the most romantic thing he had ever said. And then Teresa says, deadpan to the camera, I love Joe because he makes me feel safe, which almost made me fall off my chair, seeing as how I just got her thrown in prison. Well,
didn't she say something like about, like, was it that Joe or her money or her cookbooks keeps our family on afloat? That's how you say it, right? On afloat?
On afloat, afloat, yeah.
It's so stupid. These are idiots.
I think send the title jail, of please. This podcast should be You're Awful on Afloat. Okay, we'll put that down. Can't let brilliance just escape you like that, guys. All right, blue.
You're awful.
Blue dick. Blue dick.
Blue dick. I really am enjoying this show. You know what? Kate is such a bitch, and I love her. She is such a bitch, but I love her.
I don't even think she's a bitch. It's just we're not used to seeing someone who's not a fake asshole all the time, especially in service. Because yeah. In service, you're supposed to be like, what can I do for you? You okay? What can I do for you? And she's like, hi, here's your food.
I know. And I love, honestly, the thing that I liked about the show last season is that there comes a point when Captain Lee gets fed up with his crew and he just starts yelling at them. And that's pretty much where we're going to now. I love it because, you know, the cast is made up of a bunch of, you know, like reality stars, wannabe reality stars, young people, idiots. And he's like a real captain and he has like no patience for it. And so it's always really fun when you see a typical reality idiot get yelled at by someone with real authority. Although this season they don't have as many jackasses. Last season they had a few like real assholes.
Yeah, this week he was just mad because Kelly was like hungover after his birthday, right?
Yeah. Kelly was being a baby for sure. He was like, oh, my elbow.
He can be however he wants to be, okay? That's just the unfairness of the world. He could come punch me in the face right now and I'd be like, it's okay. I forgive you.
I've never seen someone with such a big penis also have such a big vagina too. Is that misogynist?
I don't,
probably. Sorry.
I don't think so. I don't think you can be misogynist against a man. That would be called misandry. Misandry.
Well, I think the misogyny comes from us equating
misandry.
Being a baby with a lady, saying you have a vagina. But Dina said it first, so there. She called Jim someone with a vagina.
Oh yeah, she's like, I'm sorry, you're married to a dick with a vagina. Whatever.
Yeah.
Below deck, yeah, no, but anyway. Below deck is really fun. They had a bunch of trashy people, and I love these people because they're so like me in the way that they're like, we haven't even eaten today. And they're like, you had 37 waffles, 18 grilled cheeses. They're like, yeah, but you didn't call it lunch, so we still haven't had lunch. I mean, those were snacks. They're like, because it's all skinny people on the boat who don't understand, you know. Like, skinny people just don't eat that much. So they're like, what? I had a piece of toast this morning. I'm fine. I'll have some shrimp for dinner. And fat people are like, you better get my food, bitch.
I need my afternoon waffle. I love how Kat is such a bitch. How, like, they pass by that yacht that has the slide out. And they're like, oh, my God, please don't let them see the slide. Please don't let them see the slide. She's like, would any of you guys like to have the slide today? And they're like, oh. They're like, yeah, sure. Give us the slide.
Sure. Yeah, that show. What do you have to say about that show? I really don't have that much. I enjoy watching it.
I just really enjoyed it. I think I'm actually really glad that Captain Lee made the Pretty Woman reference towards the end, which I thought was funny that he was making that reference. But when he said that the crew was becoming like the people in Pretty Woman who were like, big mistake. Well, huge. Well, the people in that boutique that Julia Roberts goes into. Because I was like, you know, these people are tacky ass passengers, but they are paying. And you can't just like, you just can't be snobby like that to the people who are paying to be on your yacht.
Well, were they so being snobby to their face?
No, but you know what though? That stuff, it comes out. It somehow like, I do believe that if you have a condescending view towards a client, even if it's just behind their back, it will eventually come out in some way or form.
Yeah, well, that's true. So, like, you're in service, you should be kind of making everybody feel really important.
Yeah,
that's why I left service.
And Amy, you know, I like Amy, but she should tone it down the way she talks to Kate. I mean, Kate is her boss, and she's like, I just don't understand. I don't understand. Like, I don't get you. I don't get your head. I don't like you're my super. You're like my main. You're my main stew, and you're there talking about me with Kat. And Kate's like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry if that happened. I'm sorry if I did that. I'm sorry that it happened. She's like, okay.
Yeah, she's like, but are you sorry that you did it? Are you sorry because I feel a certain way? Oh, you're sorry that you did it, but are you only sorry that you did it because I caught you? Or are you sad because it hurt my feelings? Are you sad that you did it and it hurt my feelings? Or are you sad that it hurt my feelings, but you're not sad that you did it? I need a specific answer.
She's like, all of the above. But you know what, though? I also like that Kate, she just was like, I'm sorry that I did that. Like, she, like, so many reality stars on Bravo, especially all the Real Housewives, should learn sometimes just suck up and say, I'm sorry that I did that, and just be easier. Done with it.
And she really didn't do anything. I mean, Kat came down.
She didn't.
And
she just listened to Kat.
Yeah, she started blabbing to her about something. But even that was like, this bitch, so I sucked some guy's dick on a boat a few years ago, and she told the whole world. But that's not even saying anything bad about her. It's just saying that it wasn't nice of her to do, and it wasn't. So, of course, it wasn't nice of Kat to be sucking everyone's dick either.
Yeah.
I like this show.
I like the show.
Why did you fill the water on table 12 before you filled the water on table 15? Was it racism? Who cares? It's a fucking busboy. That's what I say.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess on that note.
You, what an awful person.
Oh, how Ronnie. Awful. Oh, Ronnie, how terrible.
Oh, you're how disgusting.
Terrible. You're terrible. Oh, you're terrible. You're terrible, Ronnie, for saying that about the busboy.
Disgusting. All right, everybody.
Hey, you know what I call a yacht that's on the water? I call it a boat.
All right, everybody, we're done with the podcast this week. That was a fun, rollicking 2 hours of talking amongst ourselves. We hope you enjoyed it. Please come to our Facebook page, facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens. Find info about our first Google Hangout for subscribers, which will be tomorrow or today, or it already happened, depending on when you're listening to this. But it'll be Thursday, October 9th at 7 p.m. Pacific time. So come on, find the address on our Facebook page or our Patreon page where you can become a subscriber, which is patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. To find our Instagrams and our Twitters and etc., just come to our Facebook page and look at the part where it says Ronnie and Ben Instagram and Twitters and etc. All right?
Oh, you're terrible. Terrible.
What a terrible thing to say.
That's awful.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schleichinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.